How is it going, everyone? It is once again me, Chewie, and I am one of the hosts of this horror podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And in this podcast, what we do is we analyze something having to do with horror, either a movie, a book, a TV show, etc. And we share our past experiences that relate to that show or whatever the subject might be. And before we start with the discussion on today's subject, I want to invite you guys to go ahead and check our Linktree page, which is linktree.com/mythsbehindlgds, because on there you can find all of our links to our social media accounts like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, etc. And also a link to our online merch store where you can score some sweet EMBO swag for yourself. Now here's a little short commercial break, and after that we'll move on to the discussion on the film Hatchet. Stick around. Okay, Mariah, so now it is time for us to start the discussion about this film, is it not?
Yes.
So, I want to ask you, because had you seen this movie before?
Yes, I have.
So is that why you brought it up to me?
Yes. I was too excited. I was really excited to hopefully get you on board, because I fell in love with this movie in the very beginning. A friend suggested this one to me, so I was falling in love with this movie. Just
So I was thinking this was up your alley because of the graphic nature of some of the stuff that happens. And by that I mean the blood, not the adult movie stuff in there.
Yeah, no, blood, of course. That's more me, Chewie.
Yeah, that's why I'm clearing that up for our audience, because I don't want them to get the wrong impression of us. okay, Hatchet. When was the first time, Mariah, if you can remember and tell us the story real quick, that you ever watched this movie?
I think it was in 2021, and a friend told me about it, and they were like, hey, I think you would like this movie. And I think they knew that I was really obsessed with Friday the 13th movie. And so it was pretty amazing. I was really hesitant because it was on Tubi, and I was like, oh, I don't know. Because on Tubi, there's a lot of good films, good horror films. But I saw the cover and I thought, wow, he looks really handsome. Hatchet. Victor Crawley. And I just thought, oh, okay. Yeah, I love his hair. And yeah, I would totally be into it. But they never mentioned, a friend of mine never mentioned anything about like the gore and stuff. They just said that they thought that I would like it. So I watched it and I fell instantly in love with it so bad. I was like, oh, this is awesome.
So for me, this was, as I mentioned, the first time I ever saw this film. I had heard about it. I've heard about the sequels, which star my forever queen, Danielle Harris, of course. She was in the Halloween series. She's been in a few other horror films here and there, and she is amazing. I love her and everything she does. So I just wanted to bring that up and share that with the world. But a little bit of backstory. I'm not familiar with the story of this film. And by that, I mean the characters. So I learned a lot about this Victor Crowley guy in this film. But all that I know about the sequels is the actress that plays the main girl in this film. I believe her name is Mary Beth or Elizabeth. No, it's Mary Beth. Sorry.
Mary Beth. Yeah.
So the girl that played her in this movie didn't want to do any more movies like this. So she refused to be in the sequels, which is when they brought Danielle Harris. And actually, I found out, I don't know if you're going to share this later or not, but I'm stealing your thunder, if you were. Because it involves my queen. So basically, she had actually auditioned Danielle Harris. She had auditioned for this film, but they turned her down. Shame on them. And the reason why they turned her down is because they didn't want for this to be some sort of like a typecast type of thing. Because,
oh,
we'll get to that in a minute, but there's quite a few people in here that are legendary actors of the horror genre. And I guess they didn't want to have her too, because that would have been too much. And I'm like, dude, like, that's stupid. You should have had her. Like, I mean, just think of how many more people would have watched your movie. And from what I read on the Wikipedia and IMDb pages, which are my trusty sources of information, this movie is basically quite popular in a specific part of the population, of course. It's not gonna win any Oscars, unfortunately for you, Mariah. But from what I read, the budget was kind of small, $1.5 million. And from what I'm reading on here, it made, hang on, I had the number here somewhere. It made a lot when they put it up for rental. I think it made somewhere in the neighborhood of $6 to $8 million. Yeah, it's right here. $8.2 million, 6 million of which were made in the first month. So,
Wow.
pretty successful for a small film. But let's talk about the story a little bit. Have you ever been to New Orleans, incidentally?
Yes, I have.
How do you like it?
Beautiful and haunting at the same time.
So, how long ago were you there?
Probably about maybe 3 days, and this was about 5 or 6 years ago. And it was right before I left Texas, and I was having a little trip with the girls, and my heart is so obsessed with the swamps. And we went to a couple of swamps actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I think that too kind of made me fall in love with this movie, is that it is the setting mostly, mainly is based in a swamp area.
So, I've been there only once, unfortunately. I've been trying to go back, but for one reason or other, I've been unable to. I went. It's crazy because I went 10 years ago, and well, this summer it will be 10 years that I went to New Orleans, and I went by myself. I decided to just I needed a vacation. I needed to do something crazy. I was going through a dark period in my life, as I still am ever since then. But I was there a couple days, actually. I was there a weekend, actually. I was there Friday evening, Saturday, Sunday, and then I came back on Monday morning. And it's a very unique town, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. It's a different, there's different people that are so out. Their voices is very different from Texas. So that was a shocker for me, because I grew up in Texas, so this was different atmosphere.
What I do regret now that I think about it, because I was younger back then. I was 28 when I went, and
Oh.
all that I wanted was to party and drink and have a good time, which is what I did, mind you. I think I drank more in that weekend than I have ever in my life, like in one weekend. I think, or what I meant to say rather, is that I think that is the one weekend in which I've drank the most out of any weekend in my life.
That sounds like the movie.
Well, the movie starts like that. They're actually walking around in Mardi Gras. I didn't go during Mardi Gras. I went in the summer. I think I went in June or July. And there is somewhat of a party atmosphere, but it's not like you see in the movie. Because in the movie, it's Mardi Gras. And of course, everyone knows that Mardi Gras is this whole carnival type of thing where people flashing each other and beads and alcohol and sex everywhere. Unfortunately, I missed out on that.
I wonder if that's really how Mardi Gras is.
It is.
Oh, I was really curious about that. I thought, wow, I wonder if this is actually like Mardi Gras, because I never been, so I was really curious about that.
Never been there during that time, but I have friends that have gone there during that time, and they tell me it's crazy. It's basically it's basically a citywide party. Well, not a citywide party, but you know what I mean. They close off a few blocks, especially on Bourbon Street, which is the most famous party district of that city. And when I went, yeah, there was a lot of people, a lot of tourists, of course. And it's a very different experience because you can walk around and get drunk, and there's bands playing, and there's people walking around dressed in all kinds of different weird clothing because they're performers, right? And at one point in the intro of the movie, you see this guy that looks like a golden robot. I don't know if you caught that.
I think so.
So those people are actually there. They pose as statues and or they move around like really weird and stuff like that. So
Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about now.
yeah, so they basically live off the tips that people give them. And I saw one of those people when I went, but he was covered in silver spray paint or whatever it is, not gold like the one in the movie. But those people are there, and there are those voodoo shops that you see in the movie also, or people that are into voodoo and stuff like, or that they sell voodoo related merchandise. But sadly, I didn't go into any of those shops. I wish I would have gone to one of those shops because they offer to like read your future and to do, well, it's not called brujeria because that's our thing in Spanish or Mexican culture. But they do like voodoo spells and stuff like that. So I kind of wish I had gone just to kind of check it out, but I didn't. Not that I was afraid or anything, mind you, but I was just too drunk to function
Yeah, I
properly.
bet if you would have gone your reading, you'd been like, "What? Who is she?" And then forgotten about it the next day.
Pretty much. So, those things are all there, and I hope that I do get to go back one day and experience them because I actually didn't go on trips. They offer haunted house trips, and I didn't see any swamp trips, but I did see a lot of haunted house trips like that. Like they take you to like a house that's supposedly haunted, and they tell you the history of the house and the history of the city, stuff like that. And I did want to go to one of those, but I missed it because I was, again, too drunk. So it was a dark time in my life, like I said. So we start the movie with a group of friends. They're walking around in Mardi Gras, looking at all the naked girls, stuff like that. And this one dude is super depressed because his girlfriend left him or something. So he's having a terrible time. And so he decides, you know what, I'm gonna go and check out this swamp trip that my friend told me because he said it was cool. So I'll go do that and you guys go out and party with the girls. So basically, only one of his friends goes with him. The other ones are like, yeah, sure, dude, go ahead. We'll be over here partying with the with the fun people.
And we all have that ride and die friend who do that for us.
But can you imagine if you're looking at the Debbie Downer?
Yeah. Yeah, especially, I mean, if I were a dude in front of like all these amazing, beautiful women, and then your buddy is just like, I'm so heartbroken over this breakup and over this girl that I was in love with. And I think I would definitely feel for him and be like, okay, let me go hang out with you, kind of thing. And I actually do that today as a girl, because I am a girl, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you're very caring and nurturing. That is a good quality to have, my friend. So I don't know what I will do. I've been in a position where like I feel depressed because you know something didn't work out for me as far as relationship wise, whatever. But I would still try to have a good time, I think. Well, now that I'm older, I think I wouldn't care anymore.
No, like, gotta live it up.
Because I'm so jaded by relationships now. It's like I'm not even trying to date anyone at this point. I'm like, ah, whatever, I'll just do my own thing. And if I meet someone good, cool. If I don't, whatever. So I couldn't relate to this guy. I mean, I guess if I was younger, I would have related to him as far as being like, oh man, this sucks. I don't want to be here. And actually, it's gonna make me sound like a horrible person, but I think I would have been one of the friends. I would have been like, okay, dude, bye, see ya. Now, I mean that now. But anyways, they go and they try to find this voodoo person. Well, actually, I want to backtrack a little bit. Do you mind?
Of course. Oh, I don't mind.
Oh, so you do mind, I'm sorry. Well, let's not do that then. So basically, What the movie starts off with is this scene of a dad and his son that are in a swamp trying to look for an alligator, I think, because they're hunters. And you know who the dad is in the scene, right?
Yes.
The actor. Would you mind sharing that with the audience?
I don't have the name right now.
That's okay, I'll do it. It is none other than the mythical, legendary actor Robert Englund, who played the character of Freddy Krueger in a lot of those movies. Actually, in, well, all of them except for the remake, because that, but that movie doesn't exist. Never mind. the remake is terrible. So Robert Englund is in this, and he has a cameo in that scene where they establish that the swamp is indeed haunted by, or haunted may not be the right word. We'll get to that eventually. But Victor Crowley roams around in this swamp, and you see him take care, so to speak, of this father and son. And I wanted to backtrack to this real quick, because as they're looking for the swamp trip, they come across a different person. This guy that's wearing like a top hat and he's got makeup in his face. The person in whose the door they knock, and he comes out and he's like, "Oh yeah, you know, whatever. Do you know who that is?"
Yes, I do. I don't know his name, but he's from Candyman.
Yes, he is.
That's the thing about me is I don't know their names from like if you were to ask me from the top of my mind, I'd be like, whoa, I don't know. Let me look it up really quick. But I can tell you the movie where they're from because I've watched it many times, but I'm horrible with names. But I remember their beautiful faces.
So yeah,
I'm
that
right?
is. Yeah, you're right. You are absolutely
Okay.
what you are. You are 100% correct on this. So it is none other than Tony Todd, the actor that played Candyman in the first series of movies, not the recent one. That's a diff that's like a remake, which I haven't seen, by the way. I've heard good things about it, but I haven't seen it yet. So Tony Todd has been in Candyman, and he's been in a few other horror films here and there. Primarily, he's kind of like a cult actor. Have did you ever see the movie The Night of the Living Dead?
Yes.
The zombie movie from the 60s.
Yes. Yes, I have.
So did you know there was a remake in the 90s of that film?
Oh, really? Is he in it?
He is the main actor in that movie.
Ah,
Tony Todd, same dude.
that is amazing. I'm gonna have to watch it now. I'm a huge fan. Obviously, I don't know your name, but that just means good because I fall in love with your face. So I just don't know your name.
So actually, that movie was made before Candyman. So I think that was his breakthrough role, the remake of The Night of the Living Dead. And I think that was in 1990 or 91, one of those years.
Okay, and then Candyman, when was that? In the
I think that was like
90s?
92, 93, maybe.
Oh, wow.
So a year or two before Candyman, he made that movie, Night of the Living Dead, the remake. And I like it. It's gonna kill me, or people are gonna want to kill me for saying this, but I like the remake more than the original, to be honest.
Wow, that is amazing. I love that.
And I guess people shouldn't be too mad at me, because on the remake, the same people that made the original, they were really involved in making the remake, so they still played a part in that. So it's not too far like of a thing like, "Oh my God, like how dare you say the remake is better?" But the same people, or some of the same people that made the original, were involved in making the remake, so can't be that bad of an opinion. So they meet this guy. We're going off in all these tangents, right? But it's okay. It's a horror movie discussion, because honestly, this movie doesn't really have a lot of substance, does it?
No.
I love how honest you are with this.
Oopsie.
So yeah, I mean, the movie doesn't have a lot of substance plot-wise. It's your typical slasher movie. And again, we'll discuss it in a while here, but Tony Todd is playing some sort of a voodoo salesman person. And he tells him, well, I don't do those trips anymore because I got sued once because this idiot fell off my boat, whatever. So he sends him off into another store. And that's where they meet the people that they eventually go on a trip with. Let me ask you this. I don't know. I don't think you mentioned this. And if you did, I'm sorry for not listening correctly. But when you were in New Orleans, did you visit any voodoo shops?
No, I did not. I visited a couple of swamps actually, because water and horror just call out to me. So, no, unfortunately, I did not. But I did get the vibes from this movie, and the fact that I've been there. I definitely can feel there was something different here. But no, I haven't. I mean, yeah, I think you said you hadn't gone to one, but that would be really interesting to go to one there.
See, and I wish I had because then I would actually have a cool story to tell you guys, but I don't.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I don't have a cool story.
My story of New Orleans was I got drunk for 3 days in a row. Yay. Good times. So we meet all the people that are gonna go on this trip in this scene. They walk into the voodoo shop and the friend is still like, man, this sucks. I should have just stayed behind with the other dudes. And so they meet the tour guide and they meet this sleazy recording dude who is recording these two girls having some sort of a romantic scene, let's call it that. Inside this shop. Really quick, right? Well, actually, before we get to that, I'm sorry. We still got a few more people to meet. So we meet the tour guide. We meet the movie dude with the two girls. And then once we get on the bus, they're about to take off for this trip. We also meet the older couple. And the dark and brooding main girl. So they're driving around and they're talking to each other here and there. So now we have the full cast of main characters. Now, Mariah, in your opinion, what do you think of these characters?
I absolutely loved them because I think what matters for movies today, I think, is authentic, like just being authentic. And this one, at that time, this was, I think, in 2006 or 2005. And at that time, just the style, the people and their outfits, and just how it was. Like their personalities isn't something I think that you would probably see as much today if you were to go to Louisiana and just hang out for weekends. This was a different time, and I love all their unique personalities. It had me cracking up when we meet the girls. They're so funny. And the movie guy, like your typical dude trying to with the camcorder. Like, who does that these days? Nobody. Well, I guess with their phones
Yeah,
or
that would be the way to do it now.
high tech camera and stuff. But back in the day, this is how you did things. So it was a bit. I think there's a lot of jokes in this scene, and they're pretty inside jokes. I feel like with a lot of people, if they were to watch it today, they would be like, "What? Like, I don't get that, or I don't understand the joke." And I think it's just because you had to be alive at that time to kind of get their sense of humor and all of that. So yeah, I definitely loved all their personalities.
It's a very unique cast of characters. I don't think any of them have a lot in common with each other, other than the fact that they're going on this trip together. But I mean, the older couple, that's kind of random, I think.
Yes.
I mean, everyone's random in this bus ride. I like some of them. I like the friend, his name is Marcus, I believe, the friend of the main guy. I like the main guy too. I like the main girl. She's kind of cool. She's dark and brooding. She's good looking too. Yeah. And I am not a big fan of the tour guide, and not a big fan of the movie guy either. The movie girls are okay, I guess. But yeah, but the thing is, movies like these, there's what I'm trying to say is this. They're not known for their personalities as far as the characters, right?
Right.
Like the whole point of these movies is not to develop their personalities, it's not to get to know them too, or to learn anything about yourself while watching this movie, hopefully. Hopefully not, but I mean, if you did, well, that's your thing there out there in the audience. But what I'm trying to say is this, or to clear my point of view, I guess, a little further, is that this movie is a throwback to the 80s films, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So with all the violence and the gore and everything, if you watch a movie from the 80s now, I think a lot of people wouldn't be too scared of them. They more than likely would not be too bothered by the amount of gore in them. But you gotta think about it in the way that people thought about it back then. Back then, they hadn't seen that much gore in movies, they hadn't seen that much violence. So this is more like an updated version of that, I think.
I definitely agree to that because this was, I feel it gave an honor to Friday the 13th series that obviously you know that I'm very in love with. And it is a bit upgraded from that time period, I would probably say, to an extent. And yeah, it's just, I love the 80s horror so much. And Friday the 13th, this is what I think grabbed my attention watching this was Friday the 13th, mainly. Just everything about it.
I would say that's definitely the main source of inspiration for the story in this. Because of the setting and the characters and the way the movie unfolds. Because, I mean, I've already said it, but movies back then, the characters didn't really get any development whatsoever. The whole point of having these characters in these movies is to watch them getting killed in horrific ways. I think this movie does that quite well. We'll get to the details of their deaths in a minute here. But they get to the swamp, and it's funny because they're all like talking smack to the tour guide. He's telling them, "Oh, if you look this way, you'll see the ghosts of whatever." And they're like, "That's just a swamp gas, bro. Like, that's not a ghost." So they're all just like talking smack to him, and he's like, "Dude, just let me do my job. I'm trying to have fun here, or whatever." And another thing that this movie has, that a lot of these movies have, is the weird guy that tries to warn them about the future.
Yes.
That guy in the boat that was like, "No, don't go with her. The swamp is closed. Victor Crowley's out there." And they're like, "Eh, whatever." So, Friday the 13th had a couple of characters like that. Crazy Ralph in the first couple movies.
That's when you know stuff is about to go really good.
Yeah, when the weird old guy tells you to stay away from somewhere, you listen to the weird old guy. Because they might be crazy, but they know stuff is out there that's trying to kill you. And I'd be like, "You know what, sir? Yeah, I'm gonna go with your advice and go back home. Thank you." So, yeah, I mean, everything from that, the setting, the weird old guy warning them, the weird cast of characters, and of course, we're gonna get to eventually meet our killer, Victor Crowley. So, they get stuck in the swamp as they're traveling down the water. And they're actually attacked by an alligator, no?
Oh, yes, with the old man, right?
Yeah, because it bites his leg, right?
It definitely, I couldn't tell if it was something else other than an alligator.
I thought that's what it was. I mean, I just saw this movie a couple minutes ago. I just finished watching it, like, but I've been drinking, so
Yeah, like, whoa, what was that? What
yeah,
was
that might have
that? I'm
impaired my judgment a
swimming.
little bit.
No, I think you are right. It probably is an alligator. I don't know. Maybe because I actually watched it today too, again, because I was wanting to get a refresher because I was very in love with it, but obviously I didn't catch the alligator or just thought, I know something bit the old man. And I was like, "Ooh, yeah."
Let's just go with alligator.
Alligator,
That
yeah.
makes that makes the most amount of
That makes
sense.
most sense.
So he's attacked by the alligator and he's in pain, of course, because his half his leg's bitten off, whatever. And I thought it was a funny scene when they're trying to get away from the alligator because a few of them fall into the water. And it looks like the water is super deep for a minute. But then when the alligator is coming towards them, they all get up and run. And the water is super shallow, so it's like, why are you swimming in the water if it's like 2 feet deep? Don't know, I thought that was hilarious. But yeah, so it is around this time, Mariah, that we learn that Mary Beth is familiar with the legend of Victor Crowley, and she tells that story to everyone in the audience, in the group of people that are there. And essentially, really quick, Victor Crowley was a child that was born with severe physical deformities, much like Jason Voorhees, mind you. And he was taunted by kids in his little town, much like Jason Voorhees. He was taking care of a single parent, much like Jason Voorhees. It's except in his case, it was his dad, not his mom. And one night, some kids try to see him, but he's hiding inside his house, so they light his house on fire by accident. And his dad can't get him out, allegedly. So Victor Crowley supposedly died in that house fire, and his dad also died eventually of just sadness, I guess. But do you know who plays the dad in this scene, in the flashback?
Yes, Kane.
Kane Hodder.
Ugh, it's just, I mean, how amazing can this movie get? It's just the fact that there's legendary horror actors in this film that just made me fall more in love with this film.
And for people who are out there and the who are not aware of who Kane Hodder is, he played Jason Voorhees in several movies in the Friday the 13th franchise.
Yeah, I think in the later movies, right? I think like the not definitely not
No.
the first or
No,
second.
I think he started with part 7.
Yeah.
Part
It's
7,
just
8, 9.
ugh. Just like that's grabbing my heart and just yeah, it's just oh man. I loved it too much. I was really excited.
So, in case we couldn't tell, Mariah, this movie is heavily influenced by the Friday the 13th franchise. In
Yes,
more ways
and
than
I'm
one.
obsessed.
I mean, you have one of the actors who played Jason in several movies, and he actually plays Victor Crowley also.
Yeah, it's just mind-blowing. I remember looking it up and I thought to myself, it's kind of funny because of course, I think one of my early crushes was Jason Voorhees when I was a little girl, actually, no lie. And I remember watching this film in 2021. And I remember thinking, wow, he's so handsome and he's beautiful looking. And I think I didn't see the fact of, his face and how he looks like. I think I was more attracted to how wonderful and amazing he was in the beginning of the film, when, you know, flat, I guess, rewind in there, a bit where he doesn't have a lot of friends, and he's made fun of with his structure, with his face and stuff. And I just related to that, and I thought, wow, that's so deep. And I loved the character Hatchet. Just in the beginning, it's just, I fell in love. It's just like the reason why I fell in love with Jason Voorhees back when I was a little girl, in the beginning of it, and how mean kids can be. And it's like, you don't want to do that. You want to look past the face and just the human and their feelings and to be loved. So yeah, I don't know. I went a little too deep in this movie. But
No, it's fine. It's fine.
anyways, but yeah, I mean, you gotta, just be nice to everyone.
No,
And
it's fine because that is a great message. I wish more people were like you in the sense that we could just let people live their lives and not get into their business if only some of us were a little bit more tolerant. But anyways, it's a similar story to Jason Voorhees. Very similar circumstances. And allegedly what happened to it was that Mary Beth explains eventually, or tries to explain, because even she's not sure, that Victor Crowley may have been trapped, or his spirit rather, may have been trapped in the night that he died, because he died in such a horrific way in a house fire, or allegedly. Because one of the guys in the group also brings up the fact that, well, he may just be alive. Maybe he never died. Maybe he was never dead to begin with. So, I want to ask you, do you think he never died and he's just a regular human with super strength? Or do you think Victor Crowley is actually some sort of ghost or apparition that haunts the swamp?
I think from my first impression from watching the first film, I would absolutely say that he never died and just wanted to be hidden from the world to not have that, I guess, horror happening again and burning the house and stuff like that. So, yeah, I did feel definitely that he was still alive and just hiding.
I think so too. I mean, that would make a little bit more sense to me that he never died and that he was just hiding. Because, I mean, you really can't hurt a ghost, can you? In the traditional way of thinking about ghosts, I don't think you would be able to like shoot them or poke them with a what do they poke them with? They poke them with like a rod of metal or something like that. So, what I'm trying to say is, ghosts are theoretically like not corporeal, which means that you can't touch them, you can't do anything to them physically. In the sense that we normally think about them. So I think I would agree with you in that Victor never really died, but it's just so full of anger because of everything that happened. But then the question would come up, like, well, why would he hide from his dad? Because allegedly in the story, the dad died because of how sad he
The
was.
broken heart.
Yeah. So maybe he was just scared of his dad because his dad's the one that hurt him. I don't know. Like in the story, like what happened is that allegedly he was trying to get out of the house in the fire, but the dad, in his attempt to break into the house to get his son out, he actually hit him in the face with a hatchet, or with a hatchet. So I don't know. It's a lot of questions about this film that I really can't answer right now. Yeah. So the story goes on, and of course we meet him. They eventually get to the house, the group of people, the old man that is injured, and his wife. They're trying to find a way back to the city because their boat is sunk in the swamp of New Orleans. So this is where we finally meet him. And mind you, by this point, I checked the time because the movie's really short. It's like an hour and 20 minutes. And actually, maybe like an hour and 15 minutes because of the credits. So I checked the time, Mariah, and it was almost 50 minutes into the movie before we see Victor Crowley. So the kills in the film all take place in the last like 25 to 30 minutes. What do you think about that?
I think that's amazing because it's already getting you excited because you're seeing all these legendary horror actors and stuff, and you're like, oh man, I want to see more. Who's gonna pop out, you know, if you hadn't seen any spoilers or anything. But I was really excited. I started having heart palpitations, but I liked it. So
Like in a good way.
it was good kind. I was like, I don't mind these heart palpitations that I'm having. I'm excited.
So now that we got to the part of the movie that I'm sure you liked, you just told us that you had your heart rate went up.
Yes, it did.
So what do you think of the gore in this film?
It was beautiful. It was, it's not as, I mean, to me, because I've seen a lot of horror movies in my time, but I make it sound like I'm an abuelita, just like all ancient. But anyways, I think this has the good amounts of gore. If somebody who's kind of into gore but not as super, this is probably a great film for that. I think it's definitely appropriate if you're into or barely getting into gore. This is just it's amazing.
I think this movie has a lot of gore. I'm gonna have to disagree with you on that a little bit because I mean, I would recommend this movie for horror fans.
And gore fans. Who
I
are
mean,
gore
it's not. I
fans?
mean, maybe because I don't know. It's not super gory to like the point where it's like, oh my God. But I do think it's gorier than the films that I grew up watching in the 80s.
Okay, I can respect that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it does have a lot of blood, and at some points I actually kind of felt that they were trying to do it on purpose.
That's the best
I mean,
kind.
yeah. That's the whole point, right? But there's a scene, for example, where Crowley is killing someone, and as he's doing this, you cut to shots of like buckets of blood being poured into the trees. And it's like, okay, he just like spun his head around. There's no reason why this guy would be irrigating the swamps with like 10 gallons of blood. So it is blown out of proportion, but I think it was done with purpose. To kind of just make it gorier and bloodier. And we all know, Maria, you're a big fan of that. So.
Yes, absolutely. Huge fan. That's I love that so much. It makes me so happy. Just, I don't know.
So, what do you think of his methods, how he takes care of these people? Which one was your favorite kill?
My favorite, I honest, it sounds kind of like, what? Why would you say that one? But I think it was probably at the very end just because it gave me Friday the 13th
Ah, okay. Yeah, when they're in the boat at the very end.
feelings. Yes, I that was my number one favorite because I thought, oh my, Friday the 13th. I'm screaming. I was screaming with not anxiety, but happy anxiety. I don't know if that's a thing. But I was like, yeah, that's awesome. I was really into it. So that was probably my favorite one towards the very end.
Yeah, you know what? I hadn't thought about it that way. You are 100% correct. That scene is very reminiscent of the last scene in Friday the 13th when they're in the boat.
And that's just what makes it so attractive. It's like, wow, I love this. I'm into this. Yeah. Friday 13 fan here. So yeah.
I think my favorite kill was let me see. I think when he killed the girl with the shovel. Because first he kills a tour guide. It's a two-for kill. It's a two for one. Because he kills the tour guide by taking his head off with the shovel. And then as he's or after he'd done that rather, he goes and finds one of the girls, the movie girls, and who, by the way, by this point had he had already cut off like half her face with a chainsaw, I think. And so she's trying to crawl away from him, and of course she doesn't get very far. He catches up with her and picks her up like a rag doll and just impales her in the shovel that is sticking out from the ground. So I think that was my favorite kill in this movie. It's very, I don't want to say tasteful, but
Yeah. So I want you, eh? I'm just kidding.
you know, people listening to us for the first time are like, these guys are a bunch of psychos.
I know.
We are not. We are not
That's
psychos.
why I'm not.
No.
I'm cool beans.
We just appreciate a good horror scene, don't we?
Yes, I think it's the art behind it, and yeah, so definitely,
Yeah.
definitely not that.
I was just thinking about that as I was saying that. As I was describing that scene, I was like, why would someone that's listening to this podcast for the very first time think? They probably think we're just a bunch of psychos, deranged people. But no, we're not.
Yeah, I
you're.
always get that too. I always get so scared, and I'm like, you know what? I have a dog, and I love her to pieces. I wouldn't hurt my baby, my dog, and or even a human at that. So it's a very different thinking process. But I mean, if you're a horror fan, it's, I mean, like me and you, we're just we're horror fan, like horror movie fans.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Not real life. That's another story.
Yeah.
But it's all love with real life situations. And
Yeah, no, I was just wondering about that, and I just kind of had like a. I was laughing to myself, but anyways. So, he starts picking them off one by one. I think we jumped ahead a little bit, but that's okay. he starts picking them off one by one, and in very creative ways, as we just described a couple of them. And they try to figure out a plan. Well, we gotta like at least fight back and make him stop long enough so that he's not able to chase after us anymore. So by this point, there's only four of them left. He already killed the old couple. He already got rid of the tour guide and one of the girls, and also the movie guy, the movie director guy. So now there's only four people left. The main dude with his friend and the main girl, Mary Beth, and the other movie girl, the blonde one. So they decide to go back to Victor Crowley's house, and basically they're gonna try to light him on fire. And they're hoping that's gonna stop him long enough so they can just run back home. So, do you think that's a good plan?
No.
Why not?
I was laughing so hard at the scene that you're describing because I just thought, what are you thinking? That's never gonna work.
No.
And I was laughing. It was so funny. Just like the thought process. And but hey, I mean, can you imagine just like being in a real life situation thinking, I need to do this? Or I guess whatever seems brutal to you that comes in your mind to save your life. Absolutely, you're gonna go for it. Even if it sounds silly.
Yeah, no, I agree with you for sure. But we see a lot of this happening in horror movies, though, right? People coming up with weird ideas and weird plans, and that they all end up dead in the
It's hilarious. I love it, but at the same time, I guess because you're so desperate to want to see the sun shine, and you're just, I guess, whatever comes to mind that you think is the best solution is you go for it. So crackles me up. It was, I loved it.
See, I studied psychology, Mariah, in college, and I only have a bachelor's degree, so I'm not an expert. I'm not a therapist, I'm not a counselor. But I remember in some classes studying how people act in situations of danger or in which they perceive themselves to be in danger. And a lot of times people do make weird decisions that they normally wouldn't make because their judgment is clouded by the anxiety, fear, whatever you might want to call it, that they're going through. And it's funny because when you go on, of course, the internet, it has the internet can be great, but it can be also kind of weird. Sometimes,
Yes, me.
yes, we met through the internet, Maria. But what I'm trying to say is this: we always, or whenever I see someone talking about a movie like this, for example, they're like, "Oh man, people are so stupid. I would never do that in the movie. What I would do is this, and oh, what I would do is that." And I'm thinking like, "No, you wouldn't, dude." Like, no, because a lot of people like to think of themselves like, no, I will do better than that. I will think of a better plan, or I will do this. But the reality is that a very small percentage of people will do that. Because most of us would be too overcome with fear to think rationally in a situation like this. Not that it's not possible, it is possible, but that's why you find a lot of people making weird decisions in movies like this, because it's maybe not to the extent that it happens in the movies, mind you, but people would end up making some weird choices in a situation in which they're being chased by a murderer or something like that. Maybe something not even as extreme as that, but just in situations in which they consider themselves to be in danger, their thought process will not be the best, or rather their choices will not be the best, I think. In my opinion, based on what I read and from what I know from college. But anyways, I just wanted to bring that up because I think it's funny when people are like, "Oh man, I would do this or not. I would do that, or I would make a weapon out of the tree branch." No, you wouldn't. Like, shut up.
Yeah, it definitely comes down to real life situations and being there in the present time and just coming up with whatever you think is the solution. And so you just go for it, hope for the best, and to, of course, see the sunshine.
Because I mean, of course, there are people that are resourceful and they keep their wits about themselves, but most of us wouldn't, and that's kind of the way it is. I'm sorry to burst anyone's bubble out there, but so we're getting to the end here of the movie. Their plan backfires because the blonde girl ends up getting killed off camera. And she actually gets dismembered, like her entire body's cut to pieces. And they actually succeed in lighting Victor Crowley on fire, but chan chan chan, it starts raining out of nowhere.
That's what I was cracking up so hard at that scene.
So, with my luck, this would happen to me if I was in a horror movie.
Oh
I mean,
no.
even in the event that I came up with a decent plan, I think something like this would happen that would make it backfire to me, because I am one of the most unlucky people ever. But anyways, good times. So the rain puts away the fire, and by this point, it's only three of them left: the friend, Marcus, the main dude, and the main girl, Mary Beth. And they're running and they come across this graveyard, but Victor Crowley catches up with them and he ends up getting the friend. So that's now down to two people in the group. And this is where they get on that boat, right? They find the boat and they
Yes.
think they can get away. But chan chan chan, not really. So at the very end though, it ends in a cliffhanger, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And oh, that just got me super excited.
Because we see the girl falling into the water, and she's about to drown, but she's able to She gets stuck in like some sort of like what are they? Like vines or something? Underwater?
I think so. Yeah.
So she's trying to get off of that, and she sees the arm of the dude sticking into the water. And so she swims towards the arm. And as she goes up, it's chan-chan-chan, it's Victor Crowley, and his the guy is kind of just slumped over in the boat, half dead, and his arm is cut off. So Victor tricks the girl into thinking that the friend is trying to save her. But that's where it ends. And at first I thought something was wrong with the movie. I thought maybe the Tubi version was like incomplete or something. But no. That is how the movie actually ends. So do you think they had planned the sequel to begin with for this?
Absolutely. I think when they made this movie, they had the intention of making a sequel. To be left on a cliffhanger. Absolutely. 100%.
I get that impression too. Because it ends too suddenly. I kind of felt like something more was going to happen. But it doesn't. It just ends like that. It ends, we see the guy, the main dude, kind of just half dead with his arm cut off. And the girl is stuck in the water and Victor Crowley just kind of laughing in her face. At this point, so yeah, it's kind of an interesting way to end it, I think. And I do agree with you. I think on some level they were thinking about a sequel right away. So there's actually, I think, 3 sequels to this. There's Hatchet 2 and 3, and then Victor Crowley's Part 4. And they're all on Tubi, so I'm going to watch them all.
Yay!
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe we can cover the rest of them eventually. But what do you think of the ending? Did you like it?
Oh, this is probably my favorite scene. I mean, other than seeing Victor Crowley for the first time in the movie, I was just like, oh, he's so handsome. or just getting in awe because of the fact that he looked very similar to Jason Voorhees. And I just thought, poor guy, like, I understand your pain. And I loved his character. And so seeing him for the first time and the backstory, that was my favorite scene. And then, but the ending, oh, it was all in one big package that I was just very appreciative of and just super excited. And, ugh, yeah, I was very happy.
Yeah, actually, now that you mention it, he does look a lot like Jason in Part 2 of Friday the 13th. When he's still the same of the hockey mask, he has a potato sack on his face. But at the very end, they uncover his face, and he looks a lot like Victor Crowley. He's got, like, the long hair, and the face is very similar, too. So, yeah, this movie is very definitely influenced by Friday the 13th. We've mentioned that already, but that's not a bad thing. I mean, I like it. I think, a good tribute to that series. It's my favorite series of all time, by the way, so...
I'm so happy. I was so scared, actually, to be honest with you, suggesting this, because I hope he likes it or hope he agrees. And I'm so happy that you took a chance on this movie. That makes me super happy. So thank you for watching it.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you for bringing it up. Thank you for that. So I think we're ready, Mariah, to unless you have anything more to add, of course.
Yes, I do. I have 2 fun facts from this movie. I'm too excited to talk about. Okay, so this movie was actually the last production to shoot in Louisiana before Hurricane Katrina hit.
Oh, wow.
And then also, to keep the set hidden, apparently the movie was called Love Rodeo during production.
Love Rodeo?
Love Rodeo. Yeah. It sounds like a romantic movie.
To me, it sounds more like an adult movie, if you get my drift.
And I just thought, okay, well, that would make anyone just not even go near. And I think that was probably the intention was, please do not come here and thinking we're actually doing real life stuff. It's just a movie for horror fans. And I love that. I would probably, if I was doing a movie, I would probably name it Love Rodeo. And I think I will. Yeah. It's actually like a horror film. I'm just kidding. But
What? It
yeah,
should be a horror film. I think
it's Love Rodeo.
makes everyone think they're
It's
watching a
just
different kind of movie altogether.
Yeah, that would be really fun to do. And hey, it's Halloween. So, yeah, February.
Valoween. That's the first time I ever heard that, by the way, from you.
Really? It's Valentine's with the hit of horror romance.
I had never heard about that before,
Makes sense with Love Rodeo, so yeah.
definitely. So yeah, thank you for those facts. Hurricane Katrina, I remember when that happened. About 20 years ago, give or take.
I
So
cannot believe it's been that
man, it's interesting that this movie was the last film made there before that happened. And that of course is a horrible tragedy. But it's kind of like what we talked about in the past couple episodes about 9/11. It's a before and after, I think. Because when I went to New Orleans, I'm gonna share a story with you real quick, if you don't mind. When I was hanging out in New Orleans in the bars, people talk to you. I mean, people just approach you, and people are really friendly. And to me, that was really weird because here, where I'm from, in Texas, nobody talks to
Absolutely. I totally get that.
you. Yeah, so you go to a bar, and you can sit there by yourself for hours, and nobody's gonna approach you. And I mean, except for, of course, with the bar staff to ask you what you want to drink, whatever. But, or unless somebody likes you and they want to get your number. most of the time, nobody bothers to even look in your direction. So when I was there, I was surprised. I mean, I didn't make friends, but people would meet you and talk to you for a little bit and then say, hey, we're gonna go to this bar. So if you want to join us, we'll be there. And then yeah, sure, whatever. So then you'll go there and not see them anymore, but you'll meet somebody else, and it's a very different scene. But what I'm trying to get to is this: one of the bars that I went to, the bartender was talking to this dude that's, I guess, a regular, because they seem to be really friendly with each other. And I was just kind of eavesdropping their conversation, me being the nosy person. Nah, I'm not really nosy, but I was just within earshot, so I can help myself, but here, right? And the bartender was asking the dude, because the dude is from New Orleans, and the customer, the guy that was sitting in the bar next to me, whatever, he started telling them, nah, dude, this place was different before Katrina, man. This place was different. I mean, you see it now, because the bartender wasn't from there. He was from a different town. He moved to New Orleans to work as a bartender. So, and I don't, I mean, I think he'd been there a while, enough to that he knew this guy already, but he hadn't been there long enough. I mean, maybe a few months, whatever, a few weeks, I don't know. But the point was this: the customer starts telling the guy, no, this place was really different, dude. I've been here like my whole life, and you see it now. There's people partying, it's, but he's like, nah, it's nothing like the old days. So I can't even imagine what it was like back then. If this guy who has lived there his entire life says that it's very different from the way it used to be. Even now I guess they try to bring it back up to the way it was, whatever. So I don't know. That's to me, that's always been a really deep statement that's stuck with me. Because I mean, how? I mean, of course, I can't even imagine how big that tragedy was, because looking at it from outside, you see, like, oh yeah, the entire city flooded and so many people died, and it was horrible. But just being able to listen to someone who lived there and went through it, because he actually talked about what he went through. He's like, no, I was stuck in my house for I don't know how long without food and water. this and that. So it was really traumatic for me. And so the guy was, you know, really, really, just kind of sharing his story, right? And I was just kind of listening to it for a few minutes, and I was like, wow, man, this is deep. This is really intense. And that always stuck with me. So, I mean, I can't even imagine what it's like now. So, yeah, story over.
Yeah, it was definitely a different time, and this movie was shot right before,
Yeah.
so it's pretty interesting to learn about.
I guess, Mariah, we are now ready to give our scores. So, how many hatchets to the face does this movie get out of 10, and why?
I want to give it a 10. I know that's pretty high for me, but I was just really in love with Victor Crawley, with his backstory, and why I fell in love with this film was because of Victor Crawley and his bullying storyline, and the fact that it honors Friday the 13th movie as well. I am a huge fan of that time, and I want to say, like, a little fun fact. I actually have, after watching this film, I actually got it like last year, I think December. I actually have a hatchet. I don't use it in real life, but I have one. And I was like, oh, it's so pretty because it's so tiny, but it's a hatchet. And it's a real hatchet, so I was like, ooh, this will look really nice in my room with all my masks, all my horror masks.
So that's just painting a picture in my mind of you walking around your house with this, with your masks on when wielding this hatchet.
It's totally okay. I wouldn't hurt a
Of
fly.
course not, but I mean, just kind of
Yeah.
like I guess role playing for your videos that you do sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I could probably do something like that if it was like requested. They'll be like, yeah, sure, dude. Give you some ASMR to sleep to. Hatchet style. Not real life, of course.
Yeah,
No,
but
no, no. Yeah.
I am going to go a little lower than you. And
Oh,
I hope it's
Chewie,
not
you're hurting me. Just
I
kidding.
hope it's not too disappointing for you, but because once again, these movies aren't known for having great plots or great characters. The whole point is just so we can watch them die in horrific ways, as I mentioned earlier. But I mean, the gore was good, the kills were interesting, they were well done. The graphics, or, you know, or not the graphics, but the special effects rather, were pretty good. But I do feel like something was missing from this. I don't know exactly what it was. I think it might have been the ending, that it was a little bit too sudden. And also that I felt the movie was a little bit too short, but most of these movies are like are around this length, around 80 minutes, 85 minutes. So I'm gonna give it, I'm gonna go with an 8.5 on this.
Wow, that's a lot higher. I thought you were gonna go with six. Okay, you are
Oh
still my friend. I was like, oh, I need to make sure what number he is.
You're like, I quit
Because I
this.
don't know,
You're like,
Chewie.
I quit this podcast now. Thank you.
No, I was hoping you would go higher than a six. That's what
Oh
I
yeah,
could
no. I mean, I
sense.
like the movie.
So
I mean, for what it is, right? You know, I'm not expecting a masterpiece or, I mean, but see, I think, and I'm gonna climb on my soapbox for a minute here, but I think a lot of people approach horror movies in the same way that they approach other genres. And when they watch a movie like this, for example, and it's like, man, the characters suck, there's no story, and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that's not the point, dude. The point is not to tell it, like, it's not freaking, what's the movie that's like Titanic, you know? It's not like a drama, like with great characters and this story, whatever. It's, you know, it's not the kind of movie that is, you know? So I do think that's why a lot of people don't like horror movies, because they feel like, man, they're not as deep as these movies, and well, whatever. And no. They're not meant to be that way. So maybe that's why I don't like elevated horror, and that's going to be a whole different debate there, but most of the movies that I've seen from that category, I haven't liked. Because I feel like, me personally, I'm just giving my opinion here. They are made by people that want to make horror a kind of movie that they don't have to be, if that makes sense.
Okay.
A movie like Midsommar, for example, or Hereditary, which are, if anyone out there has been following this podcast for a long enough amount of time, they know that I don't like those movies very much. But a lot of people do. So, but I gave my reasons though. I wasn't just like, oh, the movie sucks, and that was it. No, I actually specify why I don't like those movies. But anyways, that is my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. So now, as far as Victor Crowley Maria, how many skulls out of 10 does he get?
10. And those are beautiful skulls. I love his skull. I don't know if that's weird.
A little bit, but okay. I'm gonna go with a 9 for this. Because he is very, I think, frightening. He's very scary. He's very violent. He's very strong, very aggressive. But I do think he's too much like Jason. I can't give him a 10 because that would hurt my boy Jason, so no.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I agree. I did love his character, so I'm basing it off the
Yeah,
character.
of course.
But you're right. I absolutely agree with you. Jason, number one. He's my first love, so I
Okay.
can't.
So now it's my turn to say we can still be friends. So, all right, Mariah, I guess that was it for tonight, unless you have anything else to add out of your bag of tricks somewhere.
I
Nope.
don't. No.
All right, so I want to thank everyone that took time to listen to this episode. I want to thank you, Mariah, for participating in this discussion once again. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you for suggesting this movie for me to watch it. And I want to remind our listeners that you can find us on Linktree, and that is linktree.com/mythsbehindLGDS. On there, you can find the links to all of our social media stuff, Facebook, Instagram, etc. Also, our merch store. If you are listening to us on a service that allows you to score the podcast, go ahead and give us a top rating because we deserve it. We're cool like that. And I also want to remind you guys to stay away from weird people in the swamps. Stay away from weird alligators and places like that. And yep, that's gonna be all for us in this evening. And we have not decided, Mariah, which movie to do next time, have we?
No, but
That's okay.
I'll let you
Yeah,
know.
we'll talk about it so the audience will find out eventually. So, until we see you on the next one, have a good one.